Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel on this day of January 16th, 2024, and we're excited to delve into this word tonight. Amen?
Amen.
So last time we were looking at the fact we were in Hebrews 12, and we jumped over to Galatians chapter 3, and we were talking about the purpose of the law and the covenants and God sending the promise to his inheritance, which are the sons of the sons of God who exhibit faith in God according to the way that Abraham did. Okay, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And all those that have the faith of Abraham are considered the sons of God. It's not our efforts. It's not our works. Notice when Abraham stopped and ceased from his labor, then he was declared to be walking by faith. So it took time. We don't see, or in this scripture in Galatians 3, we don't see all the details where Abraham failed God. We see that Abraham believed God, right?
Mm-hmm.
It took the failure to get Abraham to the point of believing. It took all the disappointments and all the circumstances in Abraham's life to get Abraham to cease from trusting in the efforts of the flesh. But by the time we get to the New Testament in Galatians, we see that God was pleased with Abraham because Abraham walked by faith. And everybody that believes like Abraham, according to faith in Christ and the promised child coming, the seed coming, which was Christ, are considered the sons of God. Okay? So what we want to establish the fact tonight is that grace is actually Christ. The Spirit of Christ, the Godhead, the triune God, came into us through Christ being first being incarnated, then being crucified and resurrected, and then ascension. That completed God's process to allow the promises of Abraham to be given unto us, which makes us sons and heirs. Okay? So when we exhibit faith, we saw that the seed who was Christ had come. Now, what I want to read tonight is I want to go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 because we're talking about this grace. And grace is just simply, is really Christ in us. It is the favor of God which came through Christ. This is the way we receive the promises of God and the inheritance is through Christ. So because I believe in Christ and I put my faith in what Christ has done, I am considered a son of Abraham. When I say sons, it includes all, male, female, y'all understand? So I am considered a son of Abraham because I'm believing in Christ according to faith. So faith came, or grace came, when Christ came. And I think we saw mm-hmm. that in John, when we were talking about John, I think it was chapter 1, verse, I think it was 14. But in there you see how grace and truth showed up when Christ came. And so Christ became the life-giving spirit in 1 Corinthians 15, or the life-quickening spirit, which means the life-giving spirit, meaning that as Christ, he was crucified. But as the life-giving spirit, after being processed, we receive the triune God by the spirit of Christ, or the Godhead that enters into us upon faith. Okay? So we have to understand that grace is actually Christ, the Godhead, the triune God in us as Christ working to give us life and to be everything for us. So it was in John 1, 14 through 16 where it says grace came with Jesus Christ, or Jesus, God in the Son, as our enjoyment. And truth is reality. Reality is God realized by us in the Son. So remember he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have to come mm-hmm. to know by understanding the reality is God realized by us in the Son. It's not just me saying I'm saved, I give my life to Christ, and I thank you, and that's it. And I sit down in a corner and wait to go to heaven. No, you and I have to experience Christ so that God can be realized to us. in and through the Son. Christ says, when you see me, you see the Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Philip said, show us the Father. He said, have I been so long with you, Philip, and you still don't know me? So we can walk with Christ, be saved and walk. Let's put it this way. We can be saved and yet not know Christ. This is why he said in Matthew 7, they said, we cast out demons and did all these great works in your name. But he says, he would say, depart from me, I know you not. He didn't come to know them through experience. God was not realized by them through the Son. Am I making sense? So this is the favor that we have. The grace of God is the embodiment of the triune God that's imparted to us through the divine life, upon salvation, and it's the life-giving spirit that's placed in us. And we're not called to live by the natural man or the flesh. We're called to live by his spirit. And this means that his spirit has to permeate every area. And this is why I have to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. Because the Holy Spirit communes with my human spirit. And he wants to make his abode. He wants to settle down in me, meaning that he wants to feel, my mind has to become the mind of Christ. I have to put on Christ. So when I'm baptized into Christ, the person of Christ, the death of Christ, I have to live by the same person, not my old life, not my thinking. This is the hardest thing for most of us as Christians because we've not been taught. You said it earlier, Sister Cherry. We've not been taught that this has to be taught. This is why you have to be under a verbal message or ministry that explains the how to live. You and I are equipped with the teacher, the preacher in us, the Spirit. He will lead us into all truth. The job of the Spirit is to lead us to truth. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach, or how can he preach lest he be sent? Right? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing what?
The word of God.
You see, so there has to be an active, somebody has to proclaim and explain these truths so that the Spirit, he will lead us into truth, the reality, but he is the teacher, he is the preacher, he's the one that's in our lives to work out what has been worked in us. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm, this is what law does. If I'm not pointed to Christ or grace, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory, if I'm not pointed to that I have a life, divine life in me, who's waiting to terminate my old life. See, this is all a part of redemption. This is all a part of the redemption plan and everything. When we get saved, see, salvation is big. And so when we get saved, it's called regeneration or born again. And so like redemption and justification, all of this is an aspect of God's full salvation. You got regeneration, you got justification, and you got redemption. All these things, sanctification, all of these are different aspects of salvation. So redemption and justification solve the problem with God and reconciles us back to God. But regeneration, it enlivens us with God's life, bringing us into a relationship of life and union with God. And that's in 1 Peter, I think it's 1 and 3 and verse 23. You got to see this. Regeneration is the life of God added to us. Okay? We're not annihilated or destroyed. But we have to be terminated and transformed by the Spirit so that God can be added to my thinking. I have to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. Mm-hmm. All the old teachings and upbringings and all these things, I have to allow Christ to grow in me. See, I receive the seed of Christ. He's planted in me. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, for it is able to save the soul. See that? Save is sozo. Salvation is saving the soul. So what is he saving? The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion. We are saved holistically, body, soul, and spirit, and it's a process. And so when the spirit enters into me through regeneration, he's there for the purpose of giving me life. Life comes out of death. Remember? And a seed, and the seed has to die in order for what's in it to be, to produce more. Christ had to be that kernel of wheat that fell to the earth and died so that he could produce much fruit. And the fruit that he produced was us, right?
Mm-hmm.
The many sons and daughters, he brought us into glory. So the purpose of redemption is to make us, bring us into sonship. Not just to save me and say my name is written in heaven and okay, I'm good to go. No, it's to change me. It's for Christ to be formed in me. And so when Christ is formed in me, this is grace operating in my life. This is Christ, the life of Christ being added to me. But first, before his life can come forth in resurrection or through resurrection, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, the new I. But the old I had to be crucified.
Right.
See that?
Amen.
If the old I is not crucified, then what you'll have is people living life according to the old way, the natural man. And this is why we have to use the Roberts rules, the book or whatever, all those different things and law and rules and regulations in our church, in our ministry. And even in non-denominations, there's still laws and rules and
mm-hmm.
regulations. See, we think, oh, I'm not in a denomination, so I'm good. No. Anytime we separate from Christ, a person gets saved, and we pull them away from grace. This is what they were talking about in Galatians, being pulled away from grace. Grace is God in us, and he's being added into our life. He's given us life so that we can become one with him. So your thinking will change.
Yes.
Your talk will change. Your walk will change. You
Amen.
And I will start seeing things. This is why he said, put on the mind of Christ. He said, we have the mind of Christ. So you and I will start, you know, you may have been one way with a crowd of people at some point in your life, but as you start to realize the deep things of God and you put on the mind of Christ and you're being transformed, your conversation and your the way you used to do things is totally different now.
Amen.
I know when you was talking about, something you said, I was talking,
mm-hmm.
My phone was on mute, but I know this minister and his wife, people would go to them and say, you know, am I supposed to do such and such and such? They say, well, what did God say?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And you know we get confused with that one.
Yes.
we want somebody to tell us.
Yes, ma'am.
And they direct them directly. Say, look, we're here to help you, but we're not here to tell you. You got to go to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm sure if they was off, really totally off base with something, but that's how they did. You know, that's the ministry. Hey,
yeah.
Brother, sister. You need to be able to hear from God in the direction he want to take you.
Amen.
But you don't share that much.
No. Mm-mm.
Right. Amen.
And it was something you said that made me think about that. Mm-hmm.
That is a very, that's a good point. You have the teacher. We have the teacher in us, the counselor, the
right.
comforter. We just have to be led to the proper understanding of what God's word means and his will and point people to the cross. So, and I always remember the woman at the well, her ministry, she experienced and encountered Christ to her life was transformed. And she had a renewed mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
When she encountered the people in her city and the leaders there, she said, come see a man that told me all that I ever was. They saw her life, and she said some more things, which is probably not written down there, but they came and they said, We see it. We see that you had an encounter, and we see your life has been changed. No longer do we want to just hear what you got to say. We want to go to him for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is what pointing people to Christ does. I have to experience Christ.
Yes.
Not only preach it, because, you know, we got a lot of us that can preach it and squall it and say it, but the life doesn't align with
mm-hmm.
what they're preaching. We have to experience the cross, and this is what many people don't want. And one of y'all said it earlier, that we want to go, Sister Cynthia, I think you said it, we want, just like the people told God, we will do what you command. But when the mountain and all that stuff started, you know, was on fire, and there was gloom and doom, and they trembled at the voice of God, they told Moses, "You go, we, you speak to us. We don't want to go to him."
Mm-hmm.
And too many people are wanting people to go to God for them, but they don't want to.
Right.
Go for themselves. Why?
Amen.
Because God requires much of us. He has to terminate. The law was for the old creation. It was dealing with, because the old creation was fallen. God had put the law in place for our transgressions until Christ would come. See,
right.
The law was like a sheepfold. It kept us till Christ came. But now that Christ has come, once I see Christ and I accept him as my Savior, there's no need for law. Because
mm-hmm.
we have
right.
the life of God in us.
Yes.
There's no need for rules and regulation. Law is simply ordinances. Is when you sell, or you're looking at holy days and ordinances and traditions, and you know, we have these things today. We just looking at like the Ten Commandments, but no, law is anything that I try to do and keep based upon a rule or a regulation that I put in place to reach God other than Christ. It's any time that I try, I can take scriptures, I can take my ministry, and I say that I can make it a burden and I'm going to win souls. That can become law. Because if I'm doing it without the life of Christ, prompted by what the life of Christ has produced in me, then it's an effort done in vain. It's done by self. It's done by the strength of the flesh. See this?
Amen.
It has to be Christ planted in me, regeneration, and then Christ birth, developed, formed in me. Meaning me, the new I, as we were saying earlier, I am crucified. The old I, the first I in Galatians 2:20 is the old I. The old me is crucified with Christ. So I am crucified with Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now I forgot the scripture that escaped me.
Nevertheless, I live.
There, thank you. Thank y'all. Thank you, Bible scholars. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I what?
Live.
The new I lives. Yet not I, not the old me, but Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the life I live in the flesh, meaning I'm in this body of flesh, and I'm in the, you know, me in living color, me, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I, the old I has to be terminated. If I'm not letting Christ deal with my old natural me, even in my goodness and my kindness, all that I was or all that I am, in the natural, it has to be terminated. He cannot use the old creation. This is why he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are what?
Pass away.
And we are becoming what?
New creature.
You see this?
Amen.
This is why Paul can say in Ephesians, put on the new man.
Yeah.
See? The new man is Christ in us. Christ added to the new I, me. See this? After I have, because of the fall, the old I And the old self has to be terminated. The old creation has to be terminated. God cannot deal with anything of the old creation. This is the purpose of the cross.
Amen.
So that who he created me to be initially can now come forth. Remember, when God created man before the fall was in a state where God could be added into him had he eaten from the right tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after the fall, man had to be pushed out of the garden before he took that tree, because otherwise, you know, he would have been corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So God had to kick man out of the garden, but he was with man, right?
Amen.
And it took 2,000 years, I think it was, from the time God made the promise to Abraham for Christ to show up on the scene and fulfill the promise. So God had a promise, but man couldn't keep God's standard because of the fall. So what did God do? He brought in the law to put us into a sheepfold, to keep us there until the promised seed, Christ, would come.
Mm-hmm.
After Christ came, there was no need for the law, no need for anything other than grace God added to us. After Christ was crucified and ascended, resurrected and ascended, now Christ could enter into us in a new way because he had been processed. God could enter into us. So this was no different than Adam eating from the right tree. The way because Christ became the last Adam, we can eat of Christ. It's why it says, eat my flesh, drink my blood, because we're eating from the tree of life, Christ.
Amen.
And his life added to us, help us to become overcomers. But we got to stay in grace. We've got to stay. This is how grace operates, through faith. Grace means that God can pour his life back into us as we're terminated, so that the seed of Christ can be planted in our heart. The broken up fat and the fallow ground is broken up, right? And now Christ is planted, and because I receive with meekness the engrafted word, Christ can grow in me.
Yes, amen.
See, and so as he grows in me, I'm changing. The new I, the new man, is growing, and now I'm becoming connected to others who are going through the same process, which makes us the body. So now we become a body connected together in the earth, but submitted to the head, Christ.
Yes.
Y'all see this?
Yeah.
So in essence,
mm-hmm.
we connect with Christ through the Spirit.
Yes, there you go.
We connect through the church on earth, through our soul, because our mind become Christ-like.
Right. We're in the body. We're a body.
We're a body, right.
Right.
Okay.
So we're all connected to Christ. Christ is the heavenly ladder. And
we're
all
on the same mind, you were saying, with the same mind. It's true.
Christ is the
should
heavenly
be.
Ladder, right. He's the heavenly ladder.
Right.
And our spirits connect to heaven through, we're connected to Christ by way of the Spirit.
Spirit.
Right. And so as we all submit to Christ, there should be a transformation in body, soul, and spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because we're submitting. So by submitting in Christ, we should submit to the process of the cross. And so as we're submitted, Christ is making it, and we're going to go here in a minute, Ephesians 3, I think 17, shows that he wants to make his home in us.
Home in us, right.
So as we're all, let's say I'm going through this process, let's say Sister Cynthia, Sister Cherry, Sister Beth, Sister Vicky, and all of us are going through this, we're submitted to Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually happening, right? So by this happening, I didn't know Sister Cynthia. I didn't know Sister Beth. I didn't know Sister Vicky, right? Sister Cher, we didn't know.
Right.
But look how we're
amen.
We're all connected out of the blue.
Ooh.
Huh?
Amen.
We're mm-hmm. being connected. So what happens is the Spirit leads to truth.
Yes.
we all have to submit to truth, to Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as we submit, the connecting part is no problem because we're submitted to Christ. He's the head.
Right.
And one may be an arm, the other one may be an eye, the other one may be an ear. Y'all see what I'm saying? A hand. But it doesn't matter because we're all joined to Christ in the earth.
Yes.
And now we're operating. You may be, you know, you guys, some may be in New York and we're Texas, California, wherever. But see how God can cause the body to connect? And wherever
yes.
you're at, you'll be an influence, part of the body, way in all these different places.
Amen.
See,
mm-hmm.
so, but if you're in religion and organization, let me share this. A lot of people don't want to hear this. You're only going to connect with people who agree with you, who are promoting what you desire. Y'all see, remember the Tower of Babel?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, because they all spoke the same. And what these people were afraid of, they raised up a leader, Nimrod. And the flood had happened, and they were afraid to come down from the mountains because they thought it was going to happen again, right, the deluge. So Nimrod led them to a city, and he led them to build the tower, and they all spoke the same thing, and were all on one accord, and they wanted to reach the heavens. Because, again, remember, they were afraid of this flood coming back. And you can read that by Josephus, the Jewish historian. And so what happened, they followed Nimrod, and they were trying to, it wasn't that they were trying to reach God and do God's will. This was man's, the rebellion of man. See, this was the ultimate rebellion of man against God. God told the people to go out, be fruitful, and multiply. They refused. They stayed together. And they stayed with the, and made them a leader, and they tried to build this tower to do what they wanted to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
God allowed it to go but so far, and he then allowed confusion to come, and the languages were divided,
mm-hmm.
and the people scattered. Guess what God accomplished? God's will, his
mm-hmm.
original purpose, be, scatter, be fruitful, multiply.
Amen.
Sometimes confusion is allowed. I mean, we think it's just people being funny and doing this, but sometimes God uses the circumstances, the confusion, to get us to do his will.
Amen.
You can see it in
mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 8. Same thing happened. Acts chapter 8, when the people or the believers were persecuted, he said the gospel was scattered. See? Some, the enemy, what he means for evil, God can turn it for the good. So that's why we don't go based upon appearance.
Amen.
Why do we look at things? Because God is working it for a greater purpose than we can see at that moment, okay?
Amen.
At that moment in time. So we have to understand that this is why we take grace and faith, because faith, remember, substantiates what we don't see. And God has to use truth to get us to experience God so that we can see the reality of him in and through Christ. Now, I want to go back. We hadn't even read the scripture yet. In Hebrews chapter 12, I want to look at, we're talking about his grace, and we're going to go ahead to Galatians in a minute. But in chapter 12, verse 15, just verse 15, I think. And then
okay.
I'm going to jump to 28.
Okay. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Okay, we're going to go down one, Sister Jerry.
Where you want to go?
Just, I'm talking about, your little cue.
Oh.
So, looking carefully lest anyone, am I in the expanded Greek, looking carefully lest anyone fall away from the grace of God. Now, I want to read this because I want us to understand grace. It says, the grace of God came to us through Christ. You can write these scriptures down and go back and study this. John 1:14-17. Hence, it is also the grace of Christ, 2 Corinthians 13:14, and also 2 Corinthians 12:9. So in our experience, this grace is just Jesus Christ. That's Galatians 6:18. When we fall from grace, we are brought to nothing or not. We're separated from Christ, Galatians 5:4. Regarding this matter, Paul warned the churches of Galatia, which were in the same danger as the Hebrew believers, not to be separated from Christ by being turned aside to the law of the Jewish religion, lest they fall away from the grace of God, which is Christ himself. Okay? So falling away from grace is actually falling away from the life of Christ that's in us, but now he cannot be imparted or permeated or formed in us. This is why Paul wrote the book of Galatians. They got saved. He said, I preach Christ as if Christ was crucified, set before you, your very eyes. But they were not formed. They did not allow the life of Christ to be developed in and through them. They didn't experience, or they weren't going to experience being crucified so that his life can come forth. What happened was Satan used the Judaizers and religion to keep them from Christ. See this? This is what religion does today. Many of us are distracted by it because we get involved in its works, in its activities, and our affection and loyalty to Christ has been removed. That's what this means. This is why he wrote, looking carefully, lest you fall away from the grace of God. And it was these same Judaizers coming in, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and through this many be defiled. That's what religion or organized church does. Nothing wrong with there. God has a church life for each of us, but the church life is not what we see with what's going on today behind the four walls. This church life is actually us living out grace, Christ in us. The very scripture that Paul preached in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. This is how we live the church life, okay? Mm-hmm. When we say church and church life, it's not talking about the stuff that we see today behind the four walls. It's talking about the actual life of Christ being lived out by us being crucified with him, the old I, so that the new I can come forth in resurrected life. If I fall away from grace, I'm falling away from this life being developed and formed in me. That's what I want you to see. And so let's jump over to verse 28. And this is what I'm still talking about grace here.
Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
Okay. Notice we said before, he says, let us have grace. It means to take or to have grace. It means here it says, especially for the Hebrew believers, was to remain in the new covenant, to enjoy Christ. So they were going to leave Christ, which is the life of Christ, the life of Christ, which is imparted in us, and they were going to go back to law, the traditions of Judaism. It's the same thing today. We get saved, and as soon as we go to organized religion and church, most people leave Christ or grace. He said, have grace, take grace. But these believers were leaving it, whether in the book of Hebrews or the book of Galatians. They were leaving grace. And notice what he says in verse 28, therefore receiving an unshakable kingdom. See, the kingdom that we're receiving is unshakable because he's removing everything from the old creation. So if everything from the old creation, when God comes in the end time to shake the earth and judge the earth, everything of the old creation is going to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this is why he's saying the kingdom that you and I are receiving is in us. The kingdom of God is in us. I think that was in Romans 14. It's not in eat and drink and all that stuff, but it's he's in us, the kingdom of God. So he says, let us have grace so that this kingdom through which we may serve God, well-pleasing with piety and fear. See that? So this kingdom that we're receiving, it's not of this world. So the world, it's normal for the world to think that you and I are strange. It's normal for the world to be at odds with us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's normal for, when I say of the world, I'm talking about the church world as well, religious world. The world, the church world today is a part of this age. This is why we can't be surprised when we see the T.D. Jakes doing whatever with the P. Diddy and whatever else, you know, these folks are doing. The William Murphys having clubs and all this stuff for their New Year's party. These gospel singers with the world.
Amen.
It's no surprise because they've allowed, they're a part of it. The religious system today is a part of that world system, okay?
Yeah.
But we have grace because we're receiving an unshakable kingdom. So when the world comes against us, like they did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had an unshakable kingdom. They weren't moved by what the king threatened them, had they not bowed to worship that idol, right? They weren't afraid of what the king, his threats. They were more afraid of what God had to say, right?
Uh-huh.
So they were able, because they had grace, they could serve God. You see what I'm saying? Well-pleasing. And their fear came because of the fear of the Lord, not the fear of man. Why? Verse 29 tells us. Keep going.
For our God is a consuming fire.
So God is a consuming. What does he consume? Everything that's not of faith. Everything that can be shaken. See this? This is why the wood, hay, and stubble burns up in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When the believer goes before the judgment seat of Christ and his works are judged. Everything that was built up based upon wood, hay, and stubble, which means it was man's effort, man's desires, man doing his own will and not the will of God, it will be consumed. But whatever was planted in you and I through grace and faith, it will develop gold, silver, and precious stone. This is Christ being, we're growing Christ in us because we receive the seed of Christ. Now we're compared to, I think it was in Matthew 13, we're compared to a farm and a building. Okay?
Amen.
So Christ, we're the land. Our hearts, it's the land, and Christ has been sown, and this is what God wants to grow in us. And this is why we get the precious stones, the gold, and the silver. That cannot be consumed by his fire. Am I making sense?
Amen.
Okay? So let's jump. Any questions before we jump back over to Galatians chapter 3? So the note says, God is holy, and holiness is his nature. Whatever does not correspond with his holy nature, he, as the consuming fire, will consume. If the Hebrew believers had turned aside to Judaism, which was common or unholy in the sight of God, they would have become unholy, and the holy God, as the consuming fire, would have consumed them. So God is not only righteous, but also holy. See this? This is what it means to be for God to be a consuming fire. Whatever is not produced by his holy nature has to be consumed. This is why he says, old things are passed away. Behold, we are becoming new.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
Any questions? Let's go back over to Galatians chapter 3 while we're asking for questions or comments. Okay, so in verse, let me see where I want to go. All right, so let's start at verse 21, Sister Jerry.
Okay.
Galatians 3:21.
Okay. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law.
Okay. Now remember that the Hebrew believers were considering falling away from grace. In chapter 12, verse 15, he said, he warns, looking carefully lest anyone fall away from the grace of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this was the same thing that happened with the Christians in the book of Galatians. They were falling away from the grace, which is Christ himself. So we got to remember that we cannot fall away from grace, but we should have grace and be confirmed by grace and stand in grace, okay? I want us to understand that. It's important that we have grace, stand in grace, and be confirmed by grace. This is the only way to be successful. So when we go over here in Galatians 3, verse 21, he says in the expanded Greek, is in the law against the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given which was able to give life, then righteousness would have indeed been of it, or been of the law. But the law purpose was just to pretty show us that we could not keep God's standard. The law was to show, and we're going to see here its purpose. It was to keep us until Christ was to come. Let's keep going, verse 22.
But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
So it goes back to Abraham. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then he said in verse 6 of chapter 3, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, know then that they who are of faith, these are the sons of Abraham. Okay? And so the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles out of faith, announced the gospel beforehand to Abraham. And he said, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then they who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You see that?
Amen.
So if you're of the law, the works of the law, then he said you will be cursed. So now we see here it says the scripture has shut up all under sin. Why? In order that the promise out of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So God considered all of us sinners, because we all have fallen, right?
Yes.
Most people be like, well, Adam and Eve did that, not me, so why am I considered a sinner? Because you were born. We were all born in sin. It doesn't matter how good, cute, and cuddly we were.
Mm-hmm.
As a baby, God shut us all up under sin. Why? Because he knew that there was nobody but our last Adam, Christ, who would be able to redeem. So that God's promises, he was the promised seed. I just read that the promises was going to come through the seed. So because we become sons, we've also become heirs, joint heirs with Christ. That makes sense?
Amen.
So he tells us, keep going, verse 23.
But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed.
Okay, so the notes here says, with the law there is a mediator. Okay, let me go to verse 21. The law was able only to demand and condemn. It could not give life. So there is no life in the law. There are only commandments. Life is in Christ. That's John 1 and verse 4. He is the life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians 15 and 45. So the only one who is able to give life, Christ is the only one who is able to give life. And the giving of life is the focal point of the apostles' revelation. We should take only the one who gives life. You see that? The
mm-hmm.
woman with the water pots, she was first looking for physical water, but realized that Christ gave life and left the water pots.
Amen.
You see this? When she came to that realization, she left the tangible, physical water pots and embraced Christ, who is life.
Yes.
See that? And so here we see, he says, let me finish reading these notes. Any questions? So it says, there must be righteousness in order for life to be given. Righteousness, however, is not of the law, but in Christ, Romans 5:17-18. Hence, the law is not able to give life. Furthermore, since the law cannot give life, it has no power to fulfill its requirements so that righteousness may be produced. So if I'm going to go under law, which these Hebrew Christians and the Galatians, they did this. Paul called them foolish. He said, have you begun in the spirit, and now you're going to continue by the flesh? He says, that's unheard of. So by resorting to law, you're not going to be, life is not going to be imparted to you. And this is what grace does. Grace, or the promises, impart life to us. It gives us the power and the energy to be able to face the fiery furnace and not worry about the consequences. It gives us the power and the energy to go on and be overcomers and follow Christ when the world is against you and I, and that includes the church world. See this? It causes us not to walk in fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And not be afraid of what the enemy tries to do to us. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We need a life source greater than us, because y'all know it can take all these things when sickness and tribulations and trials come. Us in our natural self, we're going to be naturally afraid. We're going to naturally fear. We're going to naturally, nobody naturally wants anybody to come against them. Nobody wants confrontation. But when the Spirit of God is, we're moved upon by the Spirit of God and transformed, you can stand in the midst. Y'all see this? You can stand when there's an edict and a thing given to say that if you don't bow, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. You can stand in peace and have a sound mind.
Amen.
And love. You see this?
Yes.
This is what God wants. Under law, that's not given to us. Just because you keep a commandment and do check all these boxes, life is not imparted to you and I when we go under law. Life is not imparted. So therefore, freedom in Christ is freedom from, or liberation from, obligation. How many of us we feel like we obligated to people? Somebody does something to us, and it's the image. We got to keep the image. We don't want to look a certain way. If somebody does something, I got to do something else and make it look like I'm on the same level as whatever. How many of us are in bondage to people? And Christ has to break this, because he wants us not to be concerned what others think of us. When we're living for Christ, we can't have any bondages and hindrances from living out Christ. Am I making sense tonight?
Mm-hmm.
We gotta be free. This is why he says, whom the Son sets free is truly free. Is free in reality. See, the kingdom living that we talked about before is that the people in this world have to see the reality of the kingdom in you and I. Now, the kingdom won't be manifested, the actual kingdom itself won't be manifested on the earth until the millennial reign and rule of Christ, where the actual kingdom, Christ rules on the earth. But the reality of his kingdom can be seen in those of us connected to the head and submitted to Christ as the head. And when we say submitted to Christ as the head, it means we're submitted to the process of being crucified with Christ, along with our passions and our lusts, so that his life and his kingdom can be lived out. We're not governed by the governments of this world system. We have a constitution and a heavenly government that we are placed under and controlled by. This is why the Hebrew boys could do what they did, and so many others. It was because they were governed by God's rule. This is what it means to be in God's kingdom and living according to the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of the heavens. We are governed by his standards are much greater. So when you and I are alone, for example, you go to the store, you know, this probably happened to many of you. There was a time, you know, the cashier rung up something or was ringing you up, and she gave you too much money. Mm-hmm. Or she put something in your, didn't ring up something, and we'd be like, yes, oh, that was a blessing.
Yes.
I mean, that's been there.
Yes.
But the reality of God's kingdom ruling and reigning in you says, ma'am, look, you gave me a little too much extra money. This is what the world needs to see.
Amen.
This is the reality of the kingdom. And when the world can see, oh, wow, nobody's there, and you know, you can be on your job and you're the only one there, you could leave early, but guess what? Because the kingdom, you're submitted to the king and his kingdom and his righteousness, even though man is not there, you know that you God is there and you submit to him and his will. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
People need to see the reality of the kingdom in the earth, and this is the problem. We're churching harder than ever. We're having programs and building bigger ministries and buildings and all these things, but there is no reality of God's kingdom being shown to the people in the earth. I'm not saying there's none, but on a large scale, y'all see what I'm saying? We have more mega ministries than people are seeing the reality. And this is why people in the world, and like I told y'all before, people say they don't want to have nothing to do with church because they think that's the church life. The church life is the kingdom ruling in us from the inside out, not the mm-hmm. four walls per mm-hmm. se. Not saying that it can't happen. You can't go to the four walls. I'm not saying I'm not against gathering. We as saints should gather. But I'm saying is more emphasis has been put on the building and the organization than it is yes. Christ ruling and reigning in each of us.
Amen.
Amen. So he says, notice here, the purpose of the law was to shut. Okay, so we were all, according to the scriptures in verse 22, shut up. All was shut up under sin in order that the promise out of faith in Jesus might be given to those who believe. Okay? So Christ was the only one that could make this possible, make it where the promises of God could come to pass. But before faith came, we were guarded under law, being shut up unto the faith which was to be revealed. You see this? The purpose of the law was not bad in and of itself. We were. Mm-hmm. We couldn't keep God's standard. So in essence, the law would reveal our need for a Savior. It would show us how bad we were. Then the law would usher us, go to the tabernacle, offer a sacrifice, go through what Moses revealed according to God's standard as the Levitical system and participate. You see, they participated by faith, and faith moved them to respond by bringing the proper animal sacrifice and doing what God desired. This what the law was to show us how bad we were, condemn us, and then lead us to God's proper way, the temple, the tabernacle. Y'all see what I'm saying? So we were shut up in that system. They were shut up in that system until Christ came. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Okay, verse 24.
Therefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
You see that? So that was the purpose. The law led them to the sacrificial animal sacrifices and all the rituals that they had to do, which pointed to Christ, because the law had to show them how bad they were and how they had fallen, how we fallen short. That's what the law does, and that's why it says if any man lives in and under the law, they are cursed. They are under a curse. So now that Christ has come, we don't need to go to the law. It's see, in verse 24, he says, so then the law has become our child conductor or guardian unto Christ, that we might be justified out of faith. So and the law's purpose was to keep us under that system till Christ came. Once Christ came, we don't need the law anymore.
Amen.
Christ fulfilled all the ceremonies. He became that sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. Notice in verse 25, keep going.
But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster.
Keep going.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
All right. So it says here, as a jailer shuts up prisoners, the scripture personified here has shut up all mankind under sin. Not that the law might be kept by the imprisoned sinners, but that God's promise might be given to the believers by faith in Christ. So to be shut up under sin is to be shut up under law, as revealed in verse 23. So what the law was, it kept us in custody or in a ward, prison ward, like a ward, a prisoner ward. To be guarded under the law by being shut up under law is to be like sheep enclosed in a fold. That's John 10, verse 1 and verse 16. And according to God's way, the law was used as a fold to keep God's chosen people until Christ came. Since Christ has come, God's people should no longer be kept under the law. This is why it was so critical for Paul, and he called them foolish. Are you so foolish to go back to law? They were going back to prison, being shut up under a ward or a guardian and schoolmaster. See this?
Mm-hmm.
This is what, when you and I leave Christ and go to religion and organized church and do their activities that's apart from Christ, you're now being guarded under a schoolmaster or a guardian or a ward. This is why people are not free to make decisions or to do things for themselves. As y'all stated earlier, you have to go run to your pastor about certain things and doing certain things a certain way or whatever, because the law doesn't lead you to Christ. It doesn't lead you to grace, to know how to live for God apart from law, but to depend upon him in your day-to-day living so that his life can be imparted to you and I. God imparts his life to help you and I make decisions, day-to-day decisions. We need grace. We need grace in everything that we do and everything that we say, because circumstances come up and I need to learn how to depend on the life of Christ in me. So God uses the circumstances to get me to be crucified, to be dead to my way, to be dead to my intellect, to be dead to my way of doing things and the pride of life and all those things. He uses it, and it takes time and years to get us to the point where we're crucified with Christ so that his life can come forth.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're almost done. Let me finish up here. He says, but in verse 25, but since faith has come, we are no longer under a child conductor or a schoolmaster. The notes here, let me see. It says, so the law was an escort, a guardian, a custodian in verse 24. One who cares for a child who is underage and conducts him to the schoolmaster. So the law was used by God as a custodian or a guardian or a child conductor to watch over his chosen people before Christ came and to escort and bring them to Christ when he did come, that they might be justified by faith and participate in the blessing promised and covenanted by God to Abraham. See this? when you go back and you read where God made the promise to Abraham, what we read last week in Galatians, remember he said it was to his seed, Abraham's seed, no S. So Christ was the seed that came, birth of the woman, to bring forth the promises of God. Now, if I resort to law, rules, works, and regulations, ordinances, tradition, doctrines, then I cause God's grace and promises to become null and void in my life. It doesn't mean I'm not saved. It simply means I'm not an overcomer. I'm saved because I just wanted my name written to go to heaven. And it's so much more to being saved than that. Because remember, God's going, I have to face the judgment seat of Christ. And if my what I did in him was not according to grace and faith, then that stuff will burn, and God's still going to require that I meet his standard in some form of discipline. So only the overcomers, when he returns, those whose we're receiving an unshakable kingdom. So when God comes to prove and to shake, whatever's not of faith or whatever is of faith will remain. That's the unshakable kingdom. That's Christ in me, the hope of glory that's been developed. And I stand on him and I'm not shaken. This is what God, he wants me to receive, this unshakable kingdom. The reason why we're going this way is because grace, I receive this unshakable kingdom through Christ being in me, his life being imparted in me, and the process of redemption is what makes me into the sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. On that note, I'm going to have to close, but we're going to take questions and comments at the end of the call. So we want to thank everyone for tuning in because we had a lot to say and a lot to explain. And I believe that if we can see and understand what God meant by law and by grace, how this applies to our daily living, it'll help us to be more equipped and more established in the faith where we're not moved by things in life. Amen? So that
Amen.
God can establish his kingdom in us and we can go on and accomplish his will on the earth. So we thank you for tuning in, and until next Tuesday, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.